Who likes the new year? I kind of like it, you know. I used to have a saying when I'm a golfer, but I don't play golf. When we're having a bad round, and I'm not saying you had a bad year, but when you're having a bad round, my brother and I, we say, okay, we're going to draw the line in the scorecard. And you take your little pencil and you draw a big line right after this hole after your triple bogey. And you mark it down there, and somehow that motivates you to play better. And it's just a psychological thing. It didn't always work, but a lot of times it did. Just to say, okay, we're going to put this behind us, and we're going to move on to better things. And so I like that. And so we're in 2019, I was born in 1962, and just to be in 2019, this is so weird. I don't know if anyone else, can you believe it? 2019, that is amazing. In talking with people, I'm always asking people about things, and there was probably a greater percentage that maybe said 2018 was a hard year. I think I heard that word hard a lot about 2018. Others were mixed. But a good bit were saying, you know, it was a good year. But even the folks said it was a good year, they were ready to move on to something better that God has. I know a lot of people are reflective. I have a ministry friend that he sends me discipleship tips and on a weekly basis. And his last one was like questions to be asking yourself as you end the year and going into the new year. That's a good thing. Some like to make goals or resolutions. Others have just given up on resolutions. Who's in that category? Forget that. I'm not doing that ever. I'm making a resolution to make no more resolutions. I actually do like making goals. It kind of fits me. My senior year in high school, I had 10 goals, completed 9 of them, and that was without God's help. So, I mean, it's, you know, amazing what you can do if you have goals that are godly. But I wrote down 10 things about 2019 that I desired to happen and want to see, and they were the areas of the spiritual things, relationships, finances, our house, traveling, the ministry, they really came to me very quickly, kind of saw them and put them all down on paper. And as I was kind of going through them, I wanted to rank them in the order of importance. And there was one goal that stood out as my number one goal, and that's what I want to share with you today. And it was my number one resolution. It's my number one focus for 2019, and really, I hope that's a focus for Good News Church in 2019. And I came to this realization that if I get this first one right, then the rest will follow. And so let's look at Psalm 27. Psalm 27. You got to like David, like his passion. He's definitely a flawed person, but had a desire and a passion for the things of God and a hunger for knowing God and being in his presence. This is what he wrote in Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing. Everybody say one thing. One thing I have asked of the Lord, that I will seek, inquire for, and insistently require, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord in his presence all the days of my life, to behold and gaze upon the beauty, the sweet attractiveness, and delightful loveliness of the Lord, and to meditate, consider, and inquire in his temple. So my main goal is to spend quality time in his presence every day. That's number one on my list. Spend quality time in his presence every day. And so if I had a suggestion for you about your new year, if I suggest a resolution or a goal, it would be that. And if I could get the majority of the church to do this, you wouldn't recognize us by the end of 2019. Our marriages, our families, our relationships, our schools, our businesses would be transformed by spending time in his presence. And some people, and I don't know if you ever had this happen. Hey, Greg. Good to see you, man. Greg and Jenny, glad you guys are here. you know, you ever see somebody and you're like, man, I don't even recognize you. Hadn't seen him for a while, and like, wow. Sometimes it's negative, sometimes it's positive. And I want it to be on the positive end, is that for people not to recognize us this time next year. But what does it mean to spend quality time in his presence? Some may call it a daily devotion. Back when I was involved in Campus Crusade in college, we called it a quiet time. Old-timers called it going into the prayer closet. Whatever your terminology, it's getting into his presence and letting his presence change you. Now, I know that his presence is with me 24/7. The Holy Spirit is in me. He's in me all every moment of the day, and he will never leave me nor forsake me. But there's something about setting up time apart from your schedule and spending time with him that changes your day, changes your week, your month, and it'll change your year. And there's something about going to a place and meeting with Jesus. I like what one author said. This is great for the military people here in the room. One author said, having that daily time in the captain's briefing room. In the captain's briefing room, where you're going to be briefed about what's happening and what's going on, not only in your life, but in your world and in other people's world. It's getting our orders for the day. Matthew 6, great prayer chapter. Verse 6 says this, but when you pray, go into your most private room, and closing the door, pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you in the open. Now God is at the door of your prayer closet. And he's ready to host the time when you meet with him. And without this regular encounter with him, we tend to forget that he is in us. And he's with us wherever we go. George Mueller said this, a believer's first responsibility with each new day is to bring his own soul into a happy relationship with God. That's good, isn't it? Bring his own soul into a happy relationship before God. Now, who's got a cell phone? What do you do at the end of the day with your cell phone? Charge it up. And my phone, I don't know if your phone has it on, it has the percentage battery life. And so what do I do every night? It's a habit. Take that phone and charge it up. Wouldn't that be a good habit to have in our own lives? I mean, wouldn't that be great if we could see a spiritual power percentage every night and say, okay, I got to get charged up for the next day. We do that in the natural, but sometimes it's over in the spiritual. And we need that charging from God. Because a lot of other things don't charge your battery, they drain your battery. And I want to be charged. I want to be at 100%, ready for all the things that will happen. And you don't want to be caught with no light battery life. Enemy likes to hit you when that happens. But I think the morning is a good time to go to the prayer closet. Psalms 5, verse 3 says this, in the morning you hear my voice, O Lord. In the morning I prepare a prayer, a sacrifice for you, and watch and wait for you to speak to my heart. Now, so I recommend that, but I know that doesn't fit everybody's schedule. But I think if you can do it in the morning, it's going to have a greater impact on your day. Because sometimes if you do it later, say at night, you're kind of been so influenced by the day. But whatever works for your schedule. Now, what items do you need for your prayer closet? The Bible, of course. A notebook, study books, comfy chair. Maybe sometimes you don't want it too comfy. Headphones, if you know, for music. I like a pleasant and inspiring environment, and I like a quiet place. And you may not have all those elements, but that's a good setup for a good devotion time, good time with God. Now, there's two key components to daily devotion. Two ways to get to know God better. Two ways to be more intimate with Him. Studying His Word and through prayer. And again, prayer is simply talking to God. We make it real religious, you know, prayer. But really, all is it, you know, we all know, hopefully, how to know how to talk to people. And that's what it is. It's talking to God. I spent a lot of time in John 15 in 2018. I think it was one of my go-to chapters that I went to. So I want to read that right now, and I think it'll really fit right here. John 15, verse 1. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Any branch in me that does not bear fruit, that stops bearing. You see, we're here to bear fruit. We're here to bear fruit for the kingdom. And, you know, Paul was talking in Philippians about whether I should stay or go or depart. And he was talking about, I'm going to stay because it's more needful for you. And so we're here for a reason. We're not just here to get by or to live a comfortable life. We're here to bear fruit for the kingdom. Any branch in me that does not bear fruit, that stops bearing, he cuts away, trims off, takes away, and he cleanses and repeatedly prunes. Pruning is a part of walking with God. And every branch that continues to bear fruit, to make it bear more and richer and more excellent fruit. That's what the Lord wants. You are cleansed and pruned already because of the Word. The Word does this, which I have given you, the teachings I have discussed with you. Dwell in me, and I will dwell in you. And it's interesting, he's always there, always wanting to fellowship, always wanting to help, but you have to initiate it. So notice it says, dwell in me and I will dwell in you. He's already dwelling there, but you're not aware of it unless you make the initiative. You have to desire it. You have to want it. And there are so many distractions. Dwell in me and I will dwell in you. Live in me and I will live in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit of itself without abiding, being vitally united. I like that. To the vine. Neither you can bear fruit. Neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. We can't bear fruit without abiding in him. Being vitally connected to him. I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever lives in me and I in him bears much fruit. Abundant fruit. However, apart from me, cut off from vital union with me, you can do nothing. And it is a shame for believers to be cut off from the vine. We should be living in the vine. We should be living in him. You know, I don't know, we don't have our plants up here. But, I mean, I could go to one of the healthy plants and pull off one of the shoots and hold it up here, and it will look like it's really doing well and it's healthy. But, you know, the minute I plucked it, it's dying. I think a lot of believers are like that. They may look good. They got a little bit of glory left from the former days. But they're disconnected from the vine. However, apart from me, cut off from the vital union with me, you can do nothing. If a person does not dwell in me, he is thrown out like a broken off branch and withers. Such branches are gathered up and thrown in the fire, and they are burned. Now, verse 7. If you live in me, abide vitally united to me, and my words, talking about the word of God, my words remain in you and continue to live in your hearts, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. Remember I said those two ways? To be acquainted with God, to be intimate with him, the word, and through prayer. So I'm not saying that. Jesus is saying that. Ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. When you bear, produce much fruit, my Father is honored and glorified, and you show and prove yourselves to be true followers of mine. I don't know about you, but I want to be a true follower. I don't want to be a Christian in name only. I don't want to be just a good person. Well, Matt, he's a good person. I want to be a Christ follower. I want to be his disciple. Now, for this time in the Word, there's many ways to get the Word in you. It can be books, reading the Bible, listening to messages, word studies, commentaries, devotionals. I've got all these in abundance. YouTube messages. Currently, right now, what I'm doing is I'm reading a chapter a day in three different books. And then going back over each of the scriptures that are mentioned in these books. And I've been taking notes. And just this week alone, 16 pages of notes, revelation. Months of sermons, if that's what the Lord would have, just from a week of study. And that's just the way he is. He's always over and above. He always overflows. And so I have that notebook, and I'm just writing down what God says to me. Now, I know some people spend months in the same book. One person to spend a whole year in one particular book. Whatever is on your heart to do, there's no formula for this. And we're all different and have different personalities and the way we look things. I'm just the way I am. Like when I read a book, I read the cover first. I read the inside. I read the index. I read all the different things, and then I start with the introduction. I can't jump like my wife to the back of the book. It's just not against my it's against my nature to do that. And she'll read a book, and it's so funny. And it works for her. She's a walking, I don't know what, encyclopedia of all this information. And so she'll just read a few chapters here and a few chapters there and, this there. And it bothers me, really. But she'll get it all read. But I like to just start. And if I don't get that page, I'll go back and read it. That's just the way I am. Others like to read a psalm a day, a proverb a day. What's the best way? The best way is what ministers to you. And I guess how you know that it's a good way is, do you feel like you're being fed? When you're eating food, you feel it. You know you're being fed. And so when you're studying the Word, it should be a feeding. It should be a sensing that something's happening spiritually. There should be a strengthening that happens. And when you're in the Word of God, there should be freedom occurring. And also in your study time, you should begin to be seeing things. Seeing things on the inside. We call that revelation. And God is showing you things about all kind of things. Things to come. Things that happened in your past. Things that happen currently. All kind of things. You're learning who you are. You're learning what you have. And you're learning what you can do. Those are three things, really, every day. Learning who you are, your identity, what you have, your inheritance, and what you can do, which is your authority. Y'all doing okay? Happy New Year. And what will eventually happen, and I'm not promising you, that first devotion is going to happen if you have never done it before or if you're getting back into it. But eventually, over a period of time, God will speak to you through His Word. Isn't that amazing? God will speak to you through His Word and through the Holy Spirit, and you will respond. This is really what happens. Then you respond back to Him in prayer, in talking to Him. Let's look over in Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4. And by the way, I'm going to try to finish a little earlier. So Harry and Becky are going to Thailand later this month, and I want to give them a few minutes to share about what's happening with them. And so I'm just going to try to finish up a little early here. Hebrews 4, verse 14. Inasmuch then as we have a great high priest who has already ascended and passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession of faith in him. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to understand and sympathize and have shared a feeling that with our weaknesses and infirmities and liability to the assaults of temptation, but one who has been tempted in every respect as we are, yet without sinning. We have a high priest. He understands. He's got compassion. He's not judging. He's someone, he's been there. He's been in his earth suit. Verse 16, let us then fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace. And so in the prayer closet, it is a throne of grace. Grace is awaiting you. The throne of God's unmerited favor to us sinners, that we may receive mercy for our failures and find grace to help in good time for every need, appropriate help, well-timed help, coming just when we need it. Now, Jesus is our high priest, and as during worship today, I was just overwhelmed in with gratefulness to God. You know, another part of my 10 things is I want to be more grateful each day and more generous each day. So that's one of my 10 mantras for this year. But think about the price that Jesus paid so we could be in his presence. I mean, you ever had a friend go out of their way to do something for you and, you know, just bless you and help you in a time of trouble? Well, what did Jesus do for us? All so that we could be in fellowship with God. All so we could have the opportunity to be in his presence and not to go in fear. I mean, they were afraid to go into the Holy of Holies. They were afraid to touch and be near the Ark of the Covenant, afraid for their lives. We can go into the Holy of Holies any moment, any time of the day because of the price that Jesus paid. And so that to me is a motivation to spend time with him. Prayer is taking the living word, putting it on our lips, and sending it back to a receptive Heavenly Father. Did you get that? Taking the living word, putting it on our lips, sending it back to our Heavenly Father. The word of God on our lips is no different than Jesus himself praying. You're going to need some revelation on that. I mean, I have no doubt that Jesus' prayers were answered. But if we take his word, his promises, put them on our lips, and speak them to the Heavenly Father, it'll be like Jesus praying. Now, even in natural relationships, and I hope you've got good quality relationships in your life, who we spend time with rubs off on you. And that's why you want for your kids to be hanging around the right people. And you're like questioning, like, who are these people and who are these parents? And because you know that those relationships and that time together is going to rub off on your child or rub off on you. It affects us. So knowing that, wouldn't time in God's presence rub off on us? What kind of things from God? Now, other people, maybe gossip. It can be criticism, negative attitude, prejudice, lack. You know, pain, you know, and a lot of people, they have so much pain, they can't help but going around just spewing pain. We say that hurting people hurt others. They have that overflow of that. And so you think about God, well, first of all, we know God is love. You spend time in his presence, you're going to spend time in the presence of love. Love's going to rub off on you. Mercy, power, provision, Wisdom, he is wisdom. Peace, comfort, encouragement, boldness. I mean, we could just go on and on and on of what will rub off on you in time in his presence. The beauty of our prayers, and it is amazing. The beauty of our prayers, it brings the presence of God on the scene in our world and maybe on the other side of the world. You're praying, I mean, you're in your closet. It's a holy place, the Holy of Holies. And you're speaking things. And God's presence is there. And it's actually coming from that place to your life. It's coming to his presence. And don't you think it'll be a benefit? Coming to the workplace, coming to the school, coming to your home. How many want the presence of God in your home? Who's tired of strife and division and the devil just having his way? That's not God's will. Home should be a safe place. Home should be a place of peace. Should be a place of comfort. Man, I'm going home. But imagine if we had a family of people that were all daily God in his presence. What would that do to that home? What would that do to the marriage? What would happen again if we had a church? At least the majority of us were in his presence. What would happen? What I'm sharing today is not a prepared or planned sermon. It's just overflow from spending time with him. It's not hard. It wasn't a burden. Oh, I got to study for Sunday. Come up with another sermon. Preached over 1,000 of them. No, it's just overflow. And then it's a matter of, you know, put some things down on paper, but then, Lord, what do you want said? One thing I always pray is like, Lord, there's no way I can minister to all these people. It's got to be the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, you do your job. You meet each person right where they're at. You know what they need. I can't do that, but he can do that. Isn't it amazing? And if you'll come in with an open heart, he'll do it. He'll answer questions. He'll strengthen you. How many services I've been in over the years? Just walked out of there changed. Praise God. So I've got a hope. We're making a demand on God. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? She made a demand on the power of God. He didn't do it. She made the demand. He was willing. He was able and willing, but he didn't, you know, seek her out. She made the demand on him, and the power flowed. Prayer is making a demand on the ability of God, and it will flow. You want a miracle ministry today? Anybody want a miracle ministry? I want a miracle ministry. Who likes miracles? Miracle settles the issue. A miracle changes things. But every time God answers a prayer, it's a miracle. Every time God answers a prayer, it's a miracle. And he specializes in the impossible. That's what he does. I don't bring to him the possible, I bring to him the impossible. And he enjoys doing impossible things. Psalm 16, verse 11. This is my prayer, one of my prayers for you. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. Not just joy, the fullness of joy. God just, like everything, he just magnifies it. He's always overflow. He's always over and above. Look at the words here. Fullness of joy. And I'm not promising you everything is going to go perfect in your life. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. There's a devil. And if he can't get to you, he's going to get to your loved ones. And if he can't get to your loved ones, he'll get to your dog. I mean, he is working. And he wants to steal that joy. But I'm not going to let him steal the joy. And I'm not talking about happiness. Happiness is fleeting. Joy remains. We're to live in joy. And all the things that are going on, to have joy. You will show me the path. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And my last scripture, Matthew 11, verse 28. This is a good New Year's verse right here. It's a good verse every day. Just look at the heart of God here. Look at the heart of Jesus. Matthew 11, verse 28. Come to me. Come to me. Come to me. Don't be afraid. You've been made righteous. Come to me. He wants you to come. All you who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened, and I will cause you to rest. I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle, meek, and humble, lowly in heart, and you will find rest, relief and ease and refreshment and recreation and blessed quiet for your souls. Oh my goodness. Who could use a little of that? Who could use a lot of that? We got more people stressed out today. We got all these conveniences, all this technology, and we got people more stressed than ever. Relief, rest, relief, ease, refreshment, recreation, blessed quiet. That's my new phrase. Blessed. I'm going to have me a little blessed quiet today. I don't know what that is, but it sounds good, doesn't it? For your souls. My yoke is wholesome, useful, good, not harsh, hard, sharp, or pressing. That's the world. But comfortable, gracious, and pleasant. And my burden is light and easy to be borne. And so I guess what I'll wrap it up here today saying this. You are taking a yoke every day. You're taking a yoke every day. You're carrying a yoke every day. I recommend you take Jesus' yoke. Because the cares of the world try to come on you, yoke itself on with you, get you to partner with it. Your past, your mistakes, family issues. I was going to Minnesota for a trip for Christmas, and you know, every time, I mean, you know, you're going up there, all these memories and things flood, and a lot of them are not good. Some are not good. And I got to cast them down. And I did the best I've ever done on this trip. I just cast it down and said, hey, I'm not walking in that. You can be in a day of celebration, and the enemy can just do little zingers. Ruin it all. Take his yoke. Spend some time with him. And again, you know, I'm not saying any time. 5 minutes is better than zero. And I'll tell you this, not 1 minute is lost. We spend a lot of time wasting our time. But not 1 minute in his presence will be lost or wasted. It'll be beneficial. The more, the merrier. But if you got one minute, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, I'm not going to put you in bondage. but it will not be wasted time. It will not be lost time. And then as you come out, and then I don't know if you understand this, but there's times when I come out of prayer or come out of times in God's presence, it's like I'm in the heavens. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. I mean, just the peace that surpasses all understanding. There's just a quiet, there is a blessed quietness in my soul. And there's just a confidence, and there's a knowing. And as I was praying last night, I felt like God said this to me. That right there is who you are. That right there is your standard to live. And that's why Jesus could be asleep in the boat. He lived in that presence. And he did that as a man. He didn't do it as the Son of God. But and so I've settled the day before it happens. And I desire today to be more like Jesus. I'm Matt Judd, and I have my personality, but I want Jesus to rise up and to flow through my personality today. And I want people, when they encounter me, to encounter God and to be nearer to him, closer to him, because of the presence. And I want to carry that presence. And you know, I've not arrived. As you know me, you know a lot of my flaws. Family members know my flaws. I'm just talking about my heart, and my heart's desire is to reflect him. So 2019, who's ready? Challenge you. Take the quiet time, whatever we call it. Challenge. Start tomorrow. Start today. Start with what time you can. And if we need to have some training and some special sessions on this, be more than willing. I know I've got a book I want to order in for the congregation, and we'll get some of those, but we'll do all we can to help you in this. I want to lead you somewhere. I know God's got other things about 2019, but I tell you, we got to get this part right. We got to get this one thing right. I don't want to just do a bunch of things. I want to be obedient. I want to follow him, and I know he's got some amazing things.